unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. A lot of stuff to get into. NFL, NBA, definitely college football, with yet the latest firing taking place, the latest buyout taking place. Some of this stuff is absolutely extraordinary. It's a lot of stuff that we'll get into. But the first thing that I wanted to get into was this. The Steelers defense is just not good. I just want to get this out of the way. Some obvious stuff to get out of the way. Yes, the Indianapolis Colts look like the best team in football. We need to say that. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming. We don't know definitively whether to say the Buffalo Bills or the New England Patriots are the best team in the AFC East. But you know what we can't say either? We can't definitively rule out that the Baltimore Ravens won't capture the AFC North. They're 2-5. Since 1990, 11 teams have started out 2-5 and ended up making the playoffs. Just 11. But it's still 11. And when I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and that defense, I'm like, what the hell has happened? I watched the Green Bay Packers last night outscore the Pittsburgh Steelers 28-9 in the second half. I watched Jordan Love move the ball all over the field, looking like the second coming of Joe Montana. I watched Christian Watson make plays. I watched, you know, Kraft look like he's Travis Kelce or Gronk in his heyday. I watched that. I watched Aaron Rodgers watch a defense succumb to the Green Bay Packers and resemble nothing that we would expect from a team representing the Steel City. There's nothing steel or hardened about the Steelers' defense. They're soft as cottonelle tissue. Can't play man coverage. Struggle with zone coverage. Don't get to the quarterback. You got the second highest payroll. I'm sorry, the second oldest roster. You're paid about $155 to $165 million on the defense this offseason. TJ Watt got his bag. Cam Hayward got some additional dollars. Highsmith was there. Elliott was back. Slay was back. And they still look like trash. I don't understand what's happening. As a Steelers fan, I expected better. I haven't seen better. And I got to tell you something right now, I'm not happy about it at all. And when I look at this and I see it for what it is, it really, really, really makes me wonder about what the hell is going on with this team. What the hell has happened to a Steelers franchise that I've known, that I've loved for so long? Because they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. And when we look at it from that standpoint, we got to look at them every single year and question and wonder, when will we see them win a playoff game? By far, what I'm telling, it ain't going to be this year. Ain't going to be this year. I mean, who are you going to beat? You ain't beat New England or Buffalo. You lucked up against New England earlier this year because they turned the ball over. They ain't happening again since New England. You going to beat the Indianapolis Colts? Not the Indianapolis Colts team I'm watching. They might blow you up out of here. Beat Kansas City ain't happening. Beat Denver ain't happening. You just look at the Steelers right now, it's very disappointing. And when we looked at them, we said, hey, here's the deal. What they really, really need is quarterback play. That's all. They get that together, they'll be just fine. That's what we said. And then Aaron Rodgers come here. No, he doesn't look like Mahomes. No, he doesn't look like Goff or somebody. No, he doesn't look like, hell, he ain't looking like Daniel Jones. But Aaron Rodgers has not looked bad. Aaron Rodgers has not been a problem for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers has shown up. Where the rest of them at? Because I don't see it. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm very disgusted. Very disgusted. I'm disgusted with them damn Chicago Bears, too, albeit for different reasons. I'll get to them a little bit later. But they pissing me off, too. Okay? I'm just sick of blown opportunities. I'm sick of watching people not do what they're supposed to do. If somebody is just better, considerably better, and you're an inferior foe, fine, I get it. But when you messing up because you just seem incapable of doing your job at the right and opportune time, I'm not going to flow with that. I'm not going to flow with that. We're going to get on the Dallas Cowboys, right? And we're going to look at them yesterday, right? And we're going to sit up there and say, okay, you know what? They got an elite offense. They got a defense that sucks, whatever. I like Brian Schottenheimer. And I got to tell you something right now. As much as I like Brian Schottenheimer, I got to be the first to say this to y'all, loud and clear. It's very important that I say this to you. When I look at Brian Schottenheimer and the Dallas Cowboys, it simply comes down to this. Jerry Jones got to make a deal. I don't give a damn if you got to go out and get a Max Crosby. If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm looking at Crosby. I'm looking at Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati. No, you're not going to get Myles Garrett. Had five sacks yesterday. Okay? Against Drake May and those boys. You're not going to do that. You're not getting him. He's got a $100 million cap hit. That ain't going to work. But you got a chance to get a Crosby. You got a chance, real chance, to get a Hendrickson. And if you got a chance to get one of those cats, you Jerry Jones, you got to pull the trigger. Because when you look at the way, listen, Dak Prescott threw his interceptions yesterday. I'm so surprised. Stiff of competition on the road, Mile High City, Denver Broncos. I knew somebody would get him. This ain't the Washington Commanders you're going up against. This ain't Green Bay, who's got some weapons, but still ain't necessarily stellar defensively, even though they completely shut the Steelers down in the second half yesterday. It's not them. You look at the Dallas Cowboys. You got to get somebody to get to the passer. You don't need an elite defense to win if you're the Dallas Cowboys with that offense. What you need is more bites at the apple. Your defense that can get you at least stopped some of the time. A middle-of-the-road defense could propel the Dallas Cowboys, yes, I'm saying it, to an NFC championship game. Ain't going to happen because a black cat running around that franchise. But that could if they did the right things. If Jerry Jones and his hard-headed self would listen. This is on Jerry Jones because your defense is trash. And you need all the help you can get. You need somebody to get to the quarterback. And I can't help but imagine if you had somebody like Micah, who was a monster last night too, and over the last two games, one could easily say he played a big role in helping Green Bay win these last two games. Look, had three sacks last week. That Micah Parsons. If that Micah Parsons was on this Dallas Cowboy defense and they got some stops because they was getting to the opposing quarterbacks, how formidable would Dallas be with this offense? Because Pickens was already there. CeeDee Lamb was already there. If you don't sit up there and throw CeeDee Lamb into the backfield for a freaking running play against the Chicago Bears, which ultimately forced him that high ankle sprain that had him missing 3 to 4 weeks, what would Dallas's record be right now? Fair is fair. We know how much I love to troll Dallas Cowboy fans. We give a damn about them. Nothing pleases me more than seeing them smart crying during the holidays. I love it. Absolutely love it. And by the way, to the listening audience out there, I'm going to be down there invading Dallas next week. A week from today. That's right. I'm telling you in advance I'm coming. I'm doing First Take live from Dallas next Monday. I'm doing this show, the Stephen A. Smith Show, live from Dallas next Monday. And then I'm doing Monday Night Football. And hopefully by then, I completely get this Jabber Joe look off my face because I'm still going through the dental stuff, even though I'm feeling a little bit better than I was all last week. But I expect to be ready. I can't wait. But I'm telling you right now, Dallas would be no joke. Give him some help. With the weapons they've got, I didn't expect Javonte Williams to run the football the way that he's been running the football. Pickens and CeeDee Lamb together is elite. Ferguson's no joke. Your offensive line is not shabby. And Dak Prescott, up until yesterday, was playing like a top two league MVP candidate. Get a brother some help. Get some stops. Denver dropped 44 on them. Fourth time this year, Dallas has given up over 400 yards on offense. I mean, do something for them. Do something. This team right here, these Dallas Cowboys, I mean, Just awful defensively. Just awful. You got to do something. Passing defense, scoring defense, total defense, red zone defense. I don't do anything right defensively. And you see cats wide open. Got to do something. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call us 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Lots of stuff to get into. Make no mistake about it. I want to transition to college football. I have to do this. It really, really is necessary. Okay? There's really no way around it. It really is necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, word came down Sunday that Brian Kelly fired as head coach at LSU. It's his fourth season there. They thought it was time for him to go. For those of you who did not know, Saturday night, I was on the air Friday. And Brian Kelly, I said it for the record. He loses this game, he'll be done by the weekend. Go back and look at the tape. That's what I said. I said he loses this game, he'll be done for the week. He'll be done by the end of the weekend. Because it doesn't take much to see how things work, particularly in the SEC. Now, I knew they were going to lose to Texas A&M. Because I think this cat, Elko, is a hell of a coach. He's doing a hell of a job at Texas A&M and deserves a lot of credit coming over from Duke, of course. I expected them to beat LSU. On the road. What I didn't expect was for them to win 49-25. I didn't expect for them to score 35 straight points on the road in Death Valley in the second half. I didn't expect that. Okay? And ultimately, what we have to say in all fairness is that despite a 34-14 record overall in four seasons at LSU, that's a 71% of winning percentage. After you lose three of the past four games, all in the SEC, and you give up 35 straight points to open the second half, and you got a crowd departing from the stadium in the third quarter, students, let's get the hell up out of here and go party or something. We can't watch this no more. When you got that going on, and chants are serenaded from the stadium seats, fire Kelly, fire Kelly. I mean, that's bad. That's what was reverberating out of Tiger Stadium. And so overall, here's the key numbers to look at. 19-10 in SEC games. That's 66% wins. That ain't good enough. Not when you're leading LSU. 5-11 versus ranked opponents. You depart from Notre Dame, bloviating about how you needed access to more NIL money. You needed to be in a program devoid of restrictions. You needed to be able to go to a place like LSU that will come out of pocket, which they ultimately did by tripling your roster payroll this year to $18 million from what it was a year or two earlier with NIL dollars. You do all of that, $18 million budget for the 2025 roster. By the way, that's a combination of revenue that the athletic department can share with the players and donor-backed NIL deals. You get all of that, and then you turn around, and you losing like this. And this is the second year in a row. Remember, last year they were ranked eighth in the nation, and they nosedived by losing three straight double-digit games. This year, what they do? They lose three or four. They get bounced by Ole Miss. They beat South Carolina. They lose to Vanderbilt and then get trounced by Texas A&M with Alabama coming up next. They had to do this. Now, the name that I want everybody to recognize is Scott Woodard, either Woodard or Woodward, the athletic director at LSU. Because Brian Kelly is going to depart because he's owed about $54 million in buyout money. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the second largest buyout in college football history. Number one was Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, who was paid $76.8 million after they fired him in 2023. Do the math. That's $76.8 million plus $54 million. That's $130.8 million. $108.3 million. Ladies and gentlemen, both those dudes was hired by Scott Woodard. Now, I'm not saying the man should be fired. I'm not saying that. Because the man did hire a couple of cats that won a national championship for him at LSU. Remember, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles, Nick Saban, all delivered national championships to LSU within their first 4 years there. No doubt about it. The man don't deserve to be fired. That's not what I'm saying. And Griff, is his name Woodard or Scott? I mean, Sean. Is his name Woodard or Woodward? Woodward. Scott Woodward. Get that right. Don't just put his picture up there, damn it. Put his name up there. I want to see how it's spelled, phonetically and everything. Make sure everybody knows. Because if this was a player, we'd be saying it. If this was a player, we'd be saying it. Can't let him off the hook. Let's be very, very clear. Let's be very, very clear. That's his name. He's the athletic director at LSU. $130.4 million. That's what two people are being paid not to coach. And he hired them both. I mean, damn. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else? Now, again, wherever he's at, I want to be very, very clear. I'm not saying the man should be fired. By all intended purposes, one would argue, you know, for the most part, he's done a good job at LSU. This is not to say anything. I'm just talking about the money. You paying out that kind of money, you know what we can say about him? He don't need to be asking for no damn raise and no Christmas bonuses. That much we know. That much we know. You don't need no raise, no Christmas bonus. No. You don't get a Christmas bonus. You don't get a raise. I don't give a damn about inflationary spending and all of this other stuff with education and everything else. You got to suffer. And you ain't got to lose your job now because you did more good than bad. But you can't have a school or two schools doling out $130 million off of your personal hires, and you don't get no blemish on it. Nah, it don't work that way, bro. It don't work that way. There anybody else, we talking about them, y'all. We talking about them. We talking about them. But Brian Kelly, he had to go. Just for y'all edification, Brian Kelly is the 10th FBS head coach to be fired this season. 10th. Bringing the total buyout sum to an estimated $170 million. Brian Kelly is number 10 at $54 million. Penn State and James Franklin is at $49.7 million. Florida's Bill Napier is at $21.2 million. Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy was at $15 million. Arkansas' Sam Pittman was at $9.8 million. UCLA's Deshaun Foster was at $6.43 million. Virginia Tech's Brent Pry was at $6 million. Oregon State's Trent Bragg was at $4 million. UAB's Trent Dilfer was at $2.4 million, and Colorado State's Jay Norville was at $1.5 million. This is the same institution that couldn't afford to pay these students all these years, huh? Look at this money. Look at this money. If you have it now for payout and buyout purposes, right, with NIL, transfer portal, and all of this stuff going on, and clearly the pockets of the NCAA being severely compromised by these new deals because the athletes are now getting paid to some degree. If you have this money now, that means you had it all along. And if you had just done the right thing, the game wouldn't be compromised the way that it is now with coaches feeling like they extorted. Because you'd have done the right thing, and you wouldn't have senators like Ted Cruz and Senator Cory Booker, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, fighting for either side just to get this whole NIL transfer portal NCAA deal in the orbit and organized. So to save college sports, I'm fully intended on having both of them on this show, by the way, to discuss those two issues. I'm definitely looking forward to that. But it's necessary, y'all. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. What's up? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about right here. You can't do this, but that's what they did, and that's why they're paying the price now. Triple Eight Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. We got into some NFL. We're getting into some college football. Austin Reeves for the Los Angeles Lakers, the best third option in basketball for a vast majority of last year, was the number one option with LeBron James and Luka Doncic being out against the Sacramento Kings, and a brother dropped 51 on them last night. Give him praise and props for that all day, every day. But how the hell you got a team with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine on your squad? With the Sacramento Kings, and you going to let Austin Reeves drop 51 on y'all. What's up? As a number one option. I mean, then how that happen? I don't know if I can look at Sacramento the rest of the same the rest of the season. Then they call a call back last week raving about Sacramento Kings and what they were going to do this year, and you let Austin Reeves bust your ass for 51 points. He can play now. Ain't throwing no shade on Austin Reeves. But 51, that ain't LeBron. That ain't Luka. It's Austin Reeves. I mean, how am I supposed to look at Sacramento after that? How? Victor Wembanyama is another matter. Ladies and gentlemen, that brother's coming. I'm sorry, he's here. It's entirely plausible that Victor Wembanyama might win Defensive Player of the Year and League MVP this year. This year. It's like that. 7'5" with a handle, a three-point shot, get to the rim, boogie on you, can go around you, can dunk over you, and swatting everything out of the air in his vicinity. Had 10 blocks. This brother, it's next level. 7'5". You can't teach 7'5". I can't knock him. 7'5". But my God, is this brother special. So we definitely going to get into that. Of course, World Series Game 3 is coming up after the Dodgers got shut down and Snell couldn't last, and they got to the Dodgers bullpen and six runs were given up in nine runs in one inning. Okay. Yamamoto comes out there in game two for the Dodgers and pitches one run baseball, complete game, shut the Blue Jays down. Spectacular performance. Now game three is tonight. So it's a lot to get into tonight. There's no way around it. We're going to talk about it all right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. SiriusXM.com/GetSerious is the place to go to leave in your voicemail messages. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's the way to go. And also to call in the 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with y'all in a minute. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. It is 30 minutes past hour number one. Coming up with us at the start of hour number two, my guest is a two-time Sports Emmy Award winner, host of ESPN Sports Center, Vibe Check, and her own podcast. She'll be on the show with us, the one and only L. Duncan. Fabulous, fabulous anchor, host, personality, highly knowledgeable about the world of sports, hosting an ESPNW event she definitely wants to talk about. She's a friend. She's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful talent in this business, and I can't wait to have her on. Until then, we'll get to the calls at 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to Stephen A., SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Mike in South Carolina. You're live with your boy. What's going on, man? How are you?
Well, Stephen A., not only do you have a caller calling about Sacramento, which, by the way, is sacrilege in the Western Conference, you had one call in that said, you said that was Austin Reeves wasn't a good third option, a Laker fan last week, and he goes over for a half a hundred last night. Yeah. He's a good third option.
Well, so, listen, last year, Mike, if you remember, there was a clunk of time where he was the number one third option in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
That good. So this is not to throw any shade on Austin Reeves, who can play, who I think J.J. Redick and Rob Pelinka were right to hold on to and invest in. I definitely like Austin Reeves a lot. I'm a fan. I'm just saying 51, no LeBron on the court, no Luka on the court. You know he's their number one option because the two stars are out. You got cats like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan on the court, and he drops 51. Come on, man. Come on, man. That's an indictment against Sacramento. It really is.
We don't want to hear it. Don't mention them with the Thunder. Hey, listen, I don't want to spend much time on the Bucks. Good win. Get healthy. Get the bye week. 6-2. Looking good. We'll see what all happens. But I know you're going to love this, Stephen A.
I'm listening. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
And Cowboy, we need to get off the Weed Nation. You got more bludgeons coming. Eagles, Chiefs, Lions in a row. That's loss, loss, loss. Stephen A., this is not a prolific offense. It's going to get shown up by good defenses.
No, I disagree with you there. No. I disagree with you there. I do think it's a prolific offense. But you can't continuously ask them to go out and come to the rescue every damn play. Some days they only going to give you 20, 25 points. They can't score 30 or 40 every damn week. Their defense, Dallas Cowboy defense, fifth worst in the red zone. Second worst in total defense, scoring defense, pass defense, and they're dead last in third down defense. These boys are trash. That's the fact. That's why I call them the Alice Cowboys. I don't call them the Dallas Cowboys. I call them the Alice Cowboys. Take the D out that damn name. They're the Alice Cowboys right now. Jerry Jones got to go do something. You got two first-rounders, okay? In the trade for Micah Parsons to Green Bay, who you shouldn't have traded Micah Parsons within the damn conference to begin with. But since you did, that's neither here nor there. You got two first-round picks, right? And you got $31.5 million in cap space, second most in the NFL behind only the New England Patriots, giving them some trade leverage, okay? I don't care whether it's Trey Hendrickson, whether it's Max Crosby or somebody like that, because you ain't getting no damn Myles Garrett, all right, who's just throwing his helmet down, ready to cry because he knows he took the money, but in the same breath, the Cleveland Browns ain't going nowhere because he wants to win desperately, and he knows they ain't going to do it because they don't have an offense. You can't score in Cleveland. That's the damn problem. It ain't the coach's fault. It's the GM's fault. It's the owner's fault because you got to get them players. You got to get them personnel.
You can't do that to him.
Kevin Stefanski is a two-time coach of the year. You can't point the finger at
like
him when you know you don't have the talent.
Yeah. Well, can I just one more point? I watched a bunch of games yesterday. I don't know if you did. I'm sure you did.
Of course I did.
The officiating is atrocious. They are missing so many calls. And with all this stuff going on with gambling, they need to tighten up, Stephen. They might need to tighten up.
But we got a replay system for a reason.
The fact is,
when you're seeing stuff, it at least gives the veneer. You ain't missing the damn calls on purpose because you know you're going to get caught. So you just might not be good as opposed to you doing it on purpose. You see what I'm saying? Because you know you're going to get caught.
Stephen A., how did they miss that offsides with Aaron Rodgers? I'm sorry.
That's true. How about the fumble? How about the strip fumble by Hurts?
Yeah. Yes.
That's a fumble. I don't blame Brian Daboll for being pissed off. That's fumble.
Terrible.
All right.
And listen, this is a billion-dollar industry. Get full-time refs. I've been saying that for years. Get serious about it because people want to know that this is legit with everything that's going on.
And you know what? I don't understand why they can't get full-time refs. They pay good money. I mean, these guys are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. You should be able to get some good-time refs. No doubt about that. Right? Bob in Texas, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Bob? How are you, sir?
Stephen A., finally a chance to get hold of you, man. Happy belated birthday. Much love for your success.
Thank you.
And all that entails. And let me ask you a question. This is off the script. Do you have an actual personal assistant that does all your handling?
Yes, I do.
Oh, darn. I was going to apply.
Let me tell you something right now. Her name is Sumatra. And
right?
We are as close to inseparable as they come. That has been my personal assistant for 20 years, and ain't nobody moving her. She is the best. It ain't no doubt about it. You know, say ain't nobody don't need not apply. Need not apply. I have no desire to have another assistant in my life. That's just a fact.
Well, that's your style. That is definitely your style. Well, you know, I'm a former Marine, and I'm a big Bronco fan, and I'm a little bit jaded sometimes because I've been watching First Take, since you have been there. But it seems like you're really having back my Broncos, like the big games, and you just need to see a little bit more. I know you.
Yeah.
You said
Don't
something
you?
About Sean.
Don't you?
What's the question? What?
Don't you need to see more?
What? The question? What?
Where they been?
I mean, it's only eight games in, but I'm talking about your history. About your history. You have gone against the Broncos.
What am I missing? When have they done anything?
I'm about to hit you upside the head with some knowledge here. So even if
Please
I
do.
Never
go
won
ahead.
Back-to-back Super Bowls. Back-to-back Super Bowls with Shanahan. Now you understand?
Oh, come on.
I go back to Oregon.
I wasn't on the air then. I was in Philadelphia covering the NBA. actually college sports at that time when Denver was winning the damn Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
Has it been that long? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But I want to really show my credentials how big I'm a Bronco fan. So let's take this morning, for example. All the hype prior to this meeting was number one offense against the top-tier defense. What's going to happen? We're going to see who's real and blah, blah, blah. So the Broncos go in there, shut Dak Prescott down. He's on a historic pace, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, about to break the NFL record all time. We shut him down to no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he has less than 200 yards, but we don't – the Broncos' defense is not getting praised. All y'all were talking about is the offense was good because the Cowboys were so bad.
No. Hold on. Calm down.
Oh, Bob. I got more.
Hold on, Bob. Bob, calm down. Here's what you're missing. You're right, we didn't talk about the defense, but it's because we took it for granted because we recognize the fact that the Broncos have a pretty damn good defense, pretty close to elite defense. The question marks is what we discussed about them. Is Bo Nix that guy? Is Cortland Sutton ready to take that next step? How's your running game going to look? Is Sean Payton going to call the right plays? Those kind of things. We've wondered about their offense. There have been no questions about their defense. That's why we haven't said anything. And just for your edification, just to double check, the Broncos won back-to-back Super Bowls in 1997 and 1998. Your friendly neighborhood radio host was Stephen A. Smith as a beat writer for the Philadelphia 76ers covering the NBA. That's what I was doing in 1997 and 1998. I wasn't even talking about your Broncos. I wasn't even on the air. I was writing for newspapers.
I'll hold you back.
Okay. Just wanted to let
what
you know.
What about the last one? Who'd you pick?
I picked Denver. I picked Denver to beat Cam and Carolina. I thought it would be closer. I didn't think they would be as dominant, but I picked Denver. Have a nice day, Bob. Call back anytime. Let's go to Javante in Tennessee. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, man?
What's up, Stephen A? I appreciate you. I'm just trying to get back to I want to speak. Shout out to Austin Reeves, man. Dropped 50 on them boys' head last night, man. Austin Reeves, man, I really do like him. Man.
Good kid, good player. Good kid, good player. A bit erratic when he's at the point with the ball in his hands trying to create for others. But when he's set on scoring, he's pretty gifted. He's getting better. He's definitely receiving great coaching from J.J. Redick, Nate McMillan, and that coaching staff. And Rob Pelinka was right to keep him. And last year, a clunk of time was spent with him as the best third option in all of basketball, which is what I have said. So I got a lot of respect and love for Austin Reeves. He deserves a lot of credit. Major props to him. But in the same breath, he didn't show up on the court with Luka or with LeBron. How in the hell are you the Sacramento Kings – and you know that's the number one option for the Los Angeles Lakers, and you let Austin Reeves drop 51 on you. How does that happen? That's just
embarrassing. Makes no sense at all. Yeah, may not be bought into their system over there. Right.
Go ahead.
So now I wanted to talk about the MVP candidate y'all love to hate. That's Justin Herbert and my Chargers. Did you see those Chargers uniforms, Stephen A? Did you see them? Oh, man, you can't tell me those aren't the best uniforms in the NFL. Now, they say when you look good, you play good, and that's what they did. Now, Herbert was cooking Thursday night with Joe back in the lineup. You know, Joe Alt is all pro, right? He's just the second year in the league.
Okay.
Man, Justin Herbert, 14 rushing first downs, 13 passing first downs, 18 for 25, 219 yards for 3 touchdowns. Now, with the AFC being – the AFC West being as tough – as it is, it's good to see my Chargers looking more like themselves again. You know, the first few weeks of the season where we swept the division, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, and the Raiders. So, you know, Herbert, this is our division to lose. I hear everybody, Denver, bumping their chest about, oh, you see this. And, you know, Chiefs patting their chest thinking that they're back after, you know, skunking the Raiders team.
Why do you do this to me, man? Why do you do this to me, man? Listen. I like it when you call the show. I get a bunch of callers every single show. You understand? I do. But I go out of my way, man, to go to you because I like you. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
I'm really getting tired of you calling me about Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
Oh,
he's been in the
man.
League for 6 years. He's been in the league for 6 years. Listen, I got love for the Chargers. I know a few people that work for the Chargers that are friends of mine, okay? I got a lot of love for the Chargers, and I love going to their games at SoFi Stadium. My issue with you is that, and I think that Justin Herbert is stud potential written all over him, okay?
Man.
But you can't be in your sixth season. You don't have one single playoff victory and have cats like you calling up here like this brother is a Super Bowl champion in waiting. You can't do that. You cannot do that. You have to stop that. I have to reel you back in.
You got to get it early, Stephen A., because I don't want to feel like a bandwagon coming off as a bandwagon.
Trust me. You've already accomplished it. Any success that the Chargers have, everybody in the world should be thinking about Javonte and Tennessee first. I can promise you that. I'm going to make sure the world knows who you are. How can we not? You won't let us forget you. Nobody talks about the Chargers the way that you do. Nobody. So nobody's going to take that mantle from you. You have nothing to worry about, Javonte. They say you don't have to worry about being an early say you want to get on a bandwagon early. Everybody in America knows you already on it. You got nothing to worry about. Trust me. You good. 888 Mad Dog 6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Ramsey in California. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Ramsey. How are you?
Terrible, especially after being at the game last night,
right,
and seeing and seeing how the game went down with Austin Reeves. He didn't do as much on offense as what people think. But when you go 21 of 22 from the free throw line, and the Lakers shoot 46 free throws, to the Kings shooting 18, when Austin Reeves outshoots an entire team at the free throw line. Okay. That's how you can get to 51 as quickly as possible.
So you're saying it's bogus because they were giving him ticky tack fouls all day. That's what you're trying to say.
No, didn't say it was bogus. I'm just saying that's how you quickly rack your way and get your way to 51 points is by going to the line and knocking down 21 and 22 free throws, and the Lakers team.
Well, let me say this to you.
Shooting 46 free throws.
Okay, all right, how about this? You want me to tell you to make my point even more poignant? Ready for this? Are you listening?
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
DeAndre Ayton had 22 points and 15 rebounds.
Trust me, I saw it. I know.
So I'm just saying to you, feel good about that? You Sacramento, you feel good about that?
This brother looked like he
drifted half the damn time, but he managed to look cogent and alert, dropping 22 and 15. Do you know what the Lakers would look like if you could depend on DeAndre Ayton for 22 and 15 a night? Do you know that?
Unfortunately, I seen it last night, and I'll tell you where a lot of that came from. Sabonis was too handsy last night and got into foul trouble way too quickly.
Stop.
No.
Listen to me. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that's basketball. That's like somebody coming to me and going like this. This cat got small hands. He can't catch the ball, can't hold on to the ball, can't do this. He got bad feet. He can't move without the ball. That's basketball. If you don't have those attributes available to you, you can't play. So you can't give that to me. The point is, what you hand checking them for? Figure it out. You knew you were going up against them. Do your homework. Listen, you got to look at the Sacramento Kings, man. You got to look at the Sacramento Kings. When y'all going to be relevant again? When you going to be relevant again? You can't leave no letting off the hook. No. I don't give a damn about his 22 free throws or whatever. Austin Reeves also shot 12 of 22 from the field, 6 of 10 from three-point range. That wasn't foul shooting. What's up with that? So if I got six threes, I got 18 points off threes, all right? And I got another 10 points off twos. 12 points off twos. That's 30. Without the free throws. Why? LeBron ain't there. Luka ain't there. How he bust y'all ass like that? Come on, man. We got to be honest. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. That's 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I got a voicemail message here. Wait for me from Matthew. At SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. Matthew in Westwood, Massachusetts. Let me hear what he had to say.
I am so sick of Brian Daboll. A good head coach will make adjustments like Sirianni did, getting Saquon his best game of the season. And we've got this big blue day-hole screaming at everybody, barging into the medical tent, getting his players hurt, calling plays, putting Dart in harm's way in garbage time. Have the Giants ever made a positive adjustment in a game? Get this bum out of here.
I don't want to call a former coach of the year bum, but I do understand the critique. Brian Daboll do be engaging in some histrionics on the sideline. And I can understand how people might get a little bit annoyed about that, especially with the Giants not finding ways, figuring out ways to win. What Brian Daboll, I don't think there's anything that's going to hurt him more than the Denver Broncos loss. He gave up 33 points in the fourth quarter. And ain't no excuse for that. That's a historic loss that'll come back to bite him for as long as he's a New York Giants head coach. There's no way around that. And Scatterbull going out, here's what I think everybody's missing. Scatterbull is the emotional linchpin for that squad. And I think he is for Jackson Dart as well. They boys. And together doing what they do. That's why I got upset with Scatterbull when he backflipping and celebrating. I'm like, this is football, man. Anything could happen. You could twist your knee, your ankle, whatever. Now, that didn't happen. Yes, they obviously, he got tackled. And they bent back his ankle and all that stuff. That was a nasty look. I'm so sad for him. I wish him nothing but the best because he is a young stud. And he's a rough rider. And I'm sure he'll be back better than ever. I'm just simply saying that it's real problematic and bothersome. You know, to see that happen to him. I think that how emotional he is and what he does for the Giants emotionally in terms of their competitive fervor, I think it's going to be a bit compromised with him not out on that field with them. And I think that part is sad. But injuries happen with the National Football League. You got to find a way to work around it. Plain and simple. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. I think that take by Matthew, honestly speaking, I got to take that serious. I got to take that serious because he's not completely off his rocker. Brian Daboll is going to have a hard time recovering from that Denver Broncos loss. Philadelphia was coming after you saw what happened to them a week earlier in Denver. You know that. You saw what Giants happened to the Giants against Denver. Why wouldn't you think they were going to lose to Philly? Saquon Barkley finally had a 100-yard rushing game plus a rushing play for over 20 yards. That Eagles offense show up like that can win the Super Bowl again. You need to be able to run the football to win the Super Bowl. If you're the Eagles. It's just that simple. Back with more of your calls and voicemails in a minute before L. Duncan comes on to start off hour number two. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back right at you.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Voicemail for you to hear from Austin, Texas. Adam in Austin, Texas just left me this voicemail message at SiriusXM.com/getSirius.
Caleb Williams is more talented than Patrick Mahomes. Now, that brother can't ball, but I'll tell you this. Mahomes was drafted into a better situation. He's in a better situation. But what that brother Caleb Williams is doing is special. In terms of skill, in terms of talent, give me Caleb. That's all I got, Stephen. That's all I got, Stephen A.
That's a weak-ass take. I'm going to call that blasphemous. Number one, you tried to sound like me. Poor job. If you're going to imitate me, flatter me. Be good at it. That's number one. Number two, this ain't the day to be bragging about Caleb Williams. Not after the way he played against Baltimore yesterday. Not after the way he played against Baltimore yesterday. That's a game you're supposed to win, you Chicago Bears. I mean, your red zone offense is one of the worst in the NFL. Going to throw that interception. I mean, think about this. Baltimore Ravens defense been struggling all year long. Their offense couldn't get anything going. They said, we're going to punt and give Chicago back the ball rather than hold on to it for ourselves because we want them deep in their own territory because we know we can stop this offense. With Adunze and DJ Moore and the crew, they knew that. That's not a good look for Caleb Williams. That's not a good look for Brad Johnson. So I'm not happy about it at all. I'm just being real with you. Keeping it a buck. Brad Johnson, I'm sorry. Triple A Mad Dog 6 is number to Ben Johnson. I'm sorry. Triple A Mad Dog 6 is number to call up. This Triple A Mad Dog 6, 888-623-3646. T Love in Philly. You're live with Stephen A. What's going on, big time? How are you, man?
My man, how you feel today?
I'm good. I'm still getting there. I would say I'm about 50%. I don't look as quite as much like a chipmunk as I did Friday and all of last week, but I'm still a little swelled up. Dental stuff was no joke. I'm still recovering, bro, but I'm all right. What's going on?
It's all good. It's all good. You still bring the heat. Listen, I want to say something, man, about what you said last week first of all, before I touch on what I got, getting ready to get into. The thing on gambling, man, I thought it was very insightful. I thought you handled it very well, and I'd like to give you a clap for that. Right on.
Well, now, I appreciate it. Listen, a bunch of people, listen, in case they haven't noticed, I have my own political show on SiriusXM. You know, Straight Shooter on SiriusXM, POTUS Radio Channel 124 every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. You know, I'm kind of in this world right now, and I'm not just speculating. And we see what the president is doing in terms of, you know, people that he's going after, stuff like that. I'm not delegitimizing the investigation. I'm not saying that Cash Patel ain't running it. I'm not saying that he doesn't have his facts in order and the NBA doesn't have something very serious to deal with. I sincerely hope my man Chauncey Billups, who's been a friend for years, is completely innocent of what he's being accused of. The same with Damon Jones and Terry Rozier. I completely hope that they're innocent, but this is the FBI. And the FBI director's going to show up to a press conference like that. This is no joke. It's very, very serious. But this man goes on the air acting like, you know what, he don't answer to the president. I'm off my rocker for suggesting that he has the president's blessing because the president wants some of these people to pay. All right, go ahead. All right, y'all keep believing that if y'all want to. Y'all keep believing.
Right on.
But go ahead.
Hey, listen, I'm just glad you wasn't on the fence like a lot of people. You know, when you got one leg on one side and one leg on the other side, you usually tear up the middle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, listen. From a political perspective, I am in the middle because some things I support conservatives on, some things I support liberals on. That's just the way it's going to be. But go ahead. Make your point real quick before I cut you off.
Back to sports. Hey, I want to say, you know, there is no reason or rhyme that the Eagles would ever get rid of A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is a cornerstone, and he's going to be here, and he's going to help us win another Super Bowl.
Well, you don't know that, T-Lo. You don't know what T-Lo. Well, T-Lo, let me ask you this question. How you feel about Howie, listen,
you said it this morning on
he's the best
on,
in the business.
First take.
He's Howie the best in the business.
I love him.
Okay, so if Howie Roseman came to you and he said, I'm going to move A.J. Brown because I can get a bevy of assets for A.J. Brown, wouldn't you trust him?
I would have to trust him, but, you know, he makes great moves, but not all moves are great. You know what I mean?
But he makes a lot of great ones, though,
he's
bro.
He's made more good ones than bad.
Yeah, he's made a lot of great ones, bro. I mean, the man knows what he's doing. I'd have to trust in Howie Roseman. I got to go, T-Love. I appreciate the call. I guess I got to trust him. You just got to trust him. Plain and simple, because he's established himself as the best in the business. Speaking of best in the business, Al Duncan's one of them. My colleague at ESPN. She's up next right here with Stephen A. Hour number two coming at you. Don't go away.
Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show coming at you. Courtesy SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Being here as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember the show re-airs from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's me 1 to 3. Mad Dog comes on from 3 to 6. And then after that, I re-air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weekday. So you get a double dose of your boy Stephen A., which means you'll be getting a double dose of anybody that I bring on, which is a pleasure for me to bring on my next guest because she is simply one of the best in the business. She's been hosting the 6 o'clock Sports Center for years. She hosts her own podcast as well. She is simply one of the best in the business, knows her sports backwards and forwards, has strong opinions, as hustled me on First Take quite too often, I might add. Quite too often, I might add, ladies and gentlemen. Just beat up on me, you know what I'm saying? But I love her to death. My girl, the one and only Elle Duncan of ESPN. How are you, Elle? What's going on?
I seriously doubt that. If I walk out of a debate with Stephen A. feeling like I didn't get absolutely owned, that is a win for me, sir.
That is not true. That is not true. But we're going to stick with that lie. We're going to stick with that lie for the moment. Okay, we'll do that. Listen, I want you to tell me because, first of all, first things first, Vibe Check. That's your own podcast, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's a show. It's actually not even my own. It's all the women at ESPN that contribute. And it's a show that's 3 days a week on Wednesday, Fridays at 5 o'clock. So it's everybody.
Okay, so why have I not been invited yet? How come I have not had an invitation with the ladies? How come the ladies haven't invited me? I mean, I'm supposed to be your boy. That's why I'm supposed to be y'all boy. What's up with that?
Well, it's tough because it's not like you don't have 1 million jobs, essay. So you're a little booked and busy, but we would love for you on the show and have you come christen and bless in the show.
Anytime. I brought you on because I know you're hosting the upcoming ESPNW Women's in Sports Summit. First of all, when does it take place? And tell my audience about it.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow, actually. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from here in Ojai, California, which is crunchy and vanilla and filled with lavender fields in the best possible way. It's so Cali. Everything here is vegan. A girl just wants like a pork sandwich. That's not what they do here, but it's an amazing event, SA, because it's a summit where we celebrate all of the strides that we've made over the last year in sports. We strategize. We have incredible conversations. I'm talking with the award-winning actress Banks, who is a new owner for the NWSL Boston team. We've got Alona Mar that's coming, but I think more importantly, really cool space for women to sort of like let their hair down a little bit. You know, working in sports, we've made so many strides. It's still a bit male dominated. So to see all of these women from executives to creators, to see them all come together, like twerk at the party and strategize about the next year and talk about sort of like, it's really special. And I think one of my favorite events, I know one of my favorite events.
How long has it been going on?
Oh man, 15 years now. Wow. And it's grown exponentially. You know, it started out as like the little summit that could, and now it's become the premier event for ESPNW.
If there's something that has stood out in the world of sports that you feel has helped the summit, its cause, y'all cause, what would that be?
The women right now and how the business has moved. Like I remember SA coming to this event 6-7 years ago and like, be courageous, invest in women. It's the right thing to do. Like it was always about leaning on people's morality. But now that we've seen women's sports completely explode, of course, being led by women's basketball, it's become much more of like, okay, how do we strategize and take advantage of it's been cool to sort of see how the messaging has changed, where it is a celebration and all of those things, but it's no longer like trying to convince people of why they should invest in women. It's much more of like, okay, you've got money, here's where you should put it. And that's been really cool to witness.
What do you believe, because you would know covering sports as fabulously as you do every day, all day for ESPN. I love you to death. I got to ask you, what do you think has really helped the woman's cause when it comes to the world of sports and making sure a more prolific voice is emanating to the masses out there? What do you think has stood out that has been of assistance to y'all over these last 15 years, more so than most anything else?
Well, I think it's been, you know, like college women's sports has always been really popular and it's even more popular now. But the issue for women was that there was this disconnection. Like once these leave college, it's as if they just disappeared into the ether and people forgot that they go to a pro level. So I think the thing that's been helpful is NIL has been incredibly helpful in this space. These women being able to at 18, 19 and 20 years old brand themselves and become these huge household names as they are college students has really helped follow and track that journey into the pros. And of course, like when you talk about some of the change makers, you know, the women's soccer national soccer team really led that charge years ago with how they negotiated the NBA, with asking for equal pay and equal prize money and all of that. But when it comes to sort of, I think, the mainstream perforation, if you will, of what's made women explode is that in and of itself is just this, like, these women are household names so young now. And a lot of that is the Angel and the Caitlin Clarks and the Paige Beckers of the world, which has helped sort of that idea of the rising tide lifting. So I think like connection and connectivity early on, we have the youngest demo, you know, like women's sports has the demo and that's always the white whale in sales. You know, this part like intimately, Stephen A, you know how important money is to the cause. And so I think like marketing firms now and like these major companies going, get these women when they're young and watch their audience grow with them has been instrumental in the change.
Well, one of the things that I pointed out religiously, Elle, is that I think that, first of all, these are marvelously talented young ladies. But the number one gift I think the young ladies have proven they have is that they're trustworthy. You don't have to worry about the young ladies from a marketing standpoint the way you have to worry about some of the dudes and some of the issues that we find ourselves in. You know, and yeah. So when I look at whether it's in basketball or other sports, a lot of times you see young ladies out there thrown to the wolves, per se, and being asked to be more mature, more grown, et cetera, than normal people should. But they handle it exceptionally, exceptionally well. And I think that, to me, that's the biggest thing that they have shown. However, I remember when we debated about this, and I was debating about it with Shanae and everybody last year when I was talking about Caitlin Clark. I was like, you know me, I was like, follow the money, because, you know, I'm following the money.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the Caitlin Clark coming in, and I'm going like, wait a minute now. She ain't the best player in the WNBA. We understand that. But she's a cash cow. Ride that boat, because guess what? Mm-hmm. Everybody would stand to benefit from it. There were people who seemed a bit resistant to that. Where were you when all of that was going on? And how did you feel about, not everyone, not most, but there were some who were resistant to it? What were the kind of things that you were saying amongst yourselves when you had these discussions as ladies?
I think there is nothing wrong, Stephen A., with exceptionalizing women. We exceptionalize men. We say that the face of the NBA is LeBron James. That's okay. It doesn't mean that, like, nobody else matters or is important or their journeys aren't important. And so I think two things can be true at once. You're right. Maybe the most important figure in the W is Caitlin Clark. The best player in the W is by far Asia Wilson. The problem for me, and I think the problem for some critics from people who have exceptionalized Caitlin Clark specifically, is that a lot of the exceptionalizing is Caitlin Clark is so important to the growth and change of the W. True. And then it's the follow. But all of these other bitches ain't nothing. It's like, you know, it's that part of it where it's like, it's the compliment and then the denigration of everybody else and trying to compliment Caitlin. And that's where I have an issue. Like, it is okay to say and to put her cover of Time Magazine. It's well-deserved and well-earned. And honestly, the ratings and all of those things are proof. We're not arguing or debating that. For me, the issue comes, and I think for some of the players in the league, comes from people going, I'm only watching Caitlin Clark and none of you are anything without her. That is where I think a lot of the animus, tension really has lived, in this idea that if you're a Caitlin Clark fan, you have to hate one else, or you have to hate her perceived enemy, or you have to somehow put down the rest of the league and praise her. And there is, that's like my issue wholly, but I think it's 100% true. She has been such a driver, and she has been exceptional and transformative, period. Leave it there, because it's true.
And see, and the reason why I wouldn't is because I'd use an L. Duncan as an example. Like a lot of young, like a lot of ladies, you're strong enough, intelligent enough, articulate enough to decipher the difference between somebody who's actually doing that and somebody who's making a point. Rising tide lifts all boats, rise that boat.
Right.
You have other people who hear it, and because their sensitivities are heightened, they don't hear the other part. They hear the part that they want to hear, which is where an L. Duncan comes in, because an L. Duncan is speaking to the masses. She's speaking to millions of people a day, and she's letting them know, I get your point. Here's what to be sensitive about, what not to be sensitive about. How challenging has that been for you, amongst your own gender, to be that voice, to be somebody out there that, because I've seen you do it, where you'd go before women and be like, hold on now, and wait a minute now we're going a little bit too far. That's not what this person said or meant. No, you're taking it differently than what it was meant to take. How challenging has that been for you as your career has ascended?
I mean, Stephen A., your opinion. And so in general, it is difficult to navigate being opinionated. Always have an issue with something that you say. And I also think that people don't exactly live in the gray area of nuance. Like, that is missing in our country, in our dialogue, in the way that we talk to each other. But I have always stood like 10 toes down on the idea that I try to be as researched as possible. I try not to speak in glittering generalities. And this is my opinion. And I think that, like, if you're not pissing off one faction of the population, then you're probably not doing it right, you know? And like, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, you know, if I praise Caitlin Clark, a function of the population being like, well, you're anti-Black women, which is a joke. I'm okay with saying Angel Reese is a superstar, and maybe her basketball continue to grow, get better, but like, she is a superstar and one of the greatest market pieces that the W has had maybe ever.
Absolutely.
Without picking off Caitlin Clark, like, everybody has an opinion. It's an incredibly volatile discourse right now in the W. I'm hoping that it's going to get better as we sort of get our sea legs under us and figure out how to navigate all of this and all this increased attention, some of it from bad faith characters, some of it from good faith characters. But I think like, for most women, it can be incredibly scary, Stephen A., to stand on it because people want to do anything they can to minimize its impact. You didn't do to sit across from you and Dan Orlovsky and Cam Newton and talk football. You don't think that was scary for never taking a snap in her life because of the
you
gender?
You never looked scared at all. We were scared of you. Let's get that out the way.
But I was well researched, and like, that power is being incredibly researched so that the sort of like understanding and knowledge and experience where I don't have that injury, have the research on my side. It's the idea fan essay. I love sports. I've loved it my whole life. I consume a ton of sports. And so like, please know that even if you don't agree with me, it is a well-versed one and comes from my experience in this space.
How hard is it for you to host when you have such a passion? I can attest to your breadth of knowledge. I've worked with you for years. I know how knowledgeable you are. I know how researched you are. I know how big time you are. You're the real deal.
Thank you.
I would say it's got to be a challenge once you sat in the debate chair to then go back to host. What was that like for you? You know, because you did it in the same day. Like, you didn't realize you were coming on First Take. You were debating in the morning. You was hosting 6 o'clock Sports Center that night. You know, obviously, I've done the same thing, but I'm asking, what was that like for you?
Well, I think it's about picking your moments. And the beautiful thing about doing First Take with you and having that opportunity for me is that that is an opportunity where I am on that stage. I am on that set specifically for my opinions, which is incredible. When I'm on SportsCenter, though, that's not why I'm there. We literally have experts on, right? Like, that is, so it's about picking your moments. And so I would be able to empty the chamber on everything that I felt personally about sports and get my opinion out on First Take. Then I go do 6 o'clock SportsCenter, and my only goal is to be a point guard, not a score first point guard.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking, what's it like? What was it like for you from the standpoint of wanting to do it? Like, you could get in that debate chair and be like, this, wait a minute now, I like in my opinion. Or you could go back to sports and say, I don't need that heat. I don't mind being the point guard for the experts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
I think it's a wonderful thing. Like, I feel like I do enough television that you hear me enough. Like, if you want to know my opinion on the Broncos or want to know my opinion on Deshaun Watson or what the Browns should be doing or on Daniel Jones, you can see me on First Take or on any of these other platforms that allow for that. But also, if you just want to see me crack like dad jokes and set up Chinee and Andrea to be the superstars that they are, like, you can see that too. So for me, like, I think sometimes people get on TV and they're like, I have got to empty the chamber, like, this is my opportunity to show everybody my whole breadth of knowledge. And that's okay, but I don't need to do that because I have enough opportunities to do that. So when you see me on SportsCenter, it's about scoring first. When you see me on debate, it's obviously about debating and going back and forth. It's just different muscles. And like, you can't show, right? Sometimes you got leg day. Stephen A., you work out. Sometimes it's leg day. Sometimes it's arm day. When you're in the gym doing leg day, are you concerned that everybody's going to think that you're weak because you're not lifting weights with your arms too? No, like, that's just, that's what it's called for that particular day, and I'm okay with that.
You know, I got to confess to you, one of the greatest things that I love to watch in sports television is you with Shanae Ogumike and Andrea Carter on the air at the same time. I mean, I love you, but I love them to death.
I love them. They're superstars.
They are superstars. They just are. Y'all are the A-team. Y'all are something special to behold. What has it been like working with those two?
Well, you know this, Stephen A., because you've worked with people your whole entire career. And sometimes you have a really great working relationship. And like, when you get off air, maybe you guys aren't particularly close. Maybe you have a really great personal relationship with someone, but then on air, like, it doesn't exactly jive. This is the rare combination where we are actual like sisters. Like, we talk every day, whether we're on TV together or not. We actively root for each other. I was coming into the women's college basketball and then the WNBA space, which was, you know, in large part foreign to me. I was a fan, but how you cover things is very differently than how you watch them. And you know that.
Right.
And so they wrapped their arms around me and like helped me in a way that I can never, ever, ever repay. And it has been so rewarding to sit on a desk with people who, you know, actively root for you, want you to win. Everyone wants everyone to win. And it's just been, it's really special because I marvel at them. I mean, you guys, like, yeah, as great. Good as they are on air, they're better phenomenal. People off air. They're just phenomenal. Right. They're so,
I do have a problem with Andrea,
so
though. I do have a problem with Andrea,
why?
Though. The girl got snakes. She got snakes. She's a snake lover. Something wrong with her. Something wrong with her about that.
Correct.
She actually invited me over. She said, "Steven, you need to come over and see my snakes." I like, never. Snakes?
Yes. Yeah.
Snakes in the house. I like, 100%. No.
Yeah, she is. Andrea Carter is the most interesting woman in the world. She has a snake.
Lord.
His name is Nothing. When she gets hungry, do you know where her snack is? This is gonna gross you out. She just eats gum. Like, she just eats it. Like, when she wants a snack and there's no food around, she will take a piece of gum, she'll chew it up, and then she'll just, like, swallow it as if it was, like, an apple. I promise you, this woman is crazy. She can box. She can do, like, I've never met anybody quite like Andrea Carter. I've known her for years, and every time I talk to her, I discover something new about her.
I just
the gum
think
thing is serial killer.
Listen, right. You better not mess with that girl.
Behavior.
She hurt somebody.
Yeah.
She hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Make no sense. But I love her to death, and she's a phenomenal basketball analyst. Listen, El, before I let you get on out of here, I'd be remiss in neglecting to bring up the impending WNBA negotiations. We saw them during All-Star Weekend, and they're talking about pay us what you owe us or whatever. My position was, listen, you can make that argument. I support you. I want you to get your money. I want you to get your bag. The WNBA has grown. Other people going to make arguments. WNBA been losing money, blah, blah, blah. Hell with that. Women deserve their money. My only issue is, it is a negotiation. You understand? Nobody gets everything they want. You and I both know through experience how you handle stuff during a negotiation, sometimes influence negotiations. How have you felt about what their position has been? What advice would you give them about how to act moving forward for the purposes of the negotiation? And do you plan on bringing any of this up at the ESPNW Sports Summit?
Absolutely. Well, we're definitely going to get into this topic at the summit. But I think, like, you know, I was just with Chinee, actually. We were doing an event at USC. She dropped such a bar that I thought really encapsulated the issue right now between the league and the players as they, you know, deal with the CBA, which is that right now they both want the same thing. They both want no stoppage in play, and they both want the continued, you know, viewership and growth of the league to happen. But right now, they are not speaking the same language. And I know, you know, Adam Silver said a few weeks ago he felt like it was getting a little bit too personal with Fee's comments. And I would venture to say that if it has gotten to this point, right, with leadership on that board that has negotiated a CBA before, if it's gotten to the point where they feel like they need to be public about private conversations and things like that, clearly there is a material communication breakdown.
That's what I said.
Period. Right? Like, clearly they have gotten to a point where they're like, we got no other recourse. Like, this is where we're going to go. And I think that because this is the most important CBA of our lifetime, of their lifetimes, they are going to do absolutely everything they can to get everything that they deem to be a non-negotiable. Now, of course, there's going to be things that, like, it's not a negotiation if you get absolutely everything that they want, and it's not in the league's interest to give them everything that they want because, I mean, God, could you imagine, like, when you're going through your contract negotiation, if ESPN was like, just tell us everything that you want. That's not a negotiation, right? Like, that's a demand and an acquiesce. But I think that, like, in general, the temperature got very, very high. It's died down some. It is very unlikely we see a deal done by the deadline on October 31st, but that's happened before and that's okay. We have until May. Nobody wants this thing to go off the rails. Nobody wants a stoppage in play. This idea essay that, like, oh, Fee and Brianna, they've got unrivaled. And so, you know, this is a conflict of interest. That's absurd. Like, nobody is saying it's giving these women an option to still make money. Should there be a work stoppage of some sort, it's giving them an option to not have to go overseas and still be able to make money. But a large part of why that option exists is because they're making $60,000 and $70,000 a year. Like, that's why. So I think, you know, I don't have advice when it comes to negotiating this particular type of deal, but I do work in an industry where every 2 to 3 years you have to show your value and negotiate with the company. And I would say that in general, like, once you sort of once the temperature reaches a certain level, you then have to find some common ground, because ultimately, like, neither side can bully each other into giving what they want. And so, like, I have no idea how this is going to play, but I know that for them, and I've asked multiple players, what is your non-negotiable? And it is revenue share. Like, that is some of the other stuff I'm sure they can deal with and whatnot, you know, facilities and things like that.
Basketball related income. Revenue share, absolutely.
That's it. Like, that's their non-negotiable. They want a bigger piece of the pie. They are not saying they want the same piece of the pie that the NBA or the NFL is getting. That's not what they're saying. They just want something that is commensurate to the growth that we've already seen and the projected growth that they will see over the next 5 years.
One of the things I said before I let you go, I talked about Nafisha Collier, and back then I said, if that young lady, who's a fabulous player, by the way, an absolutely fabulous player and high character person, comes out against the commissioner saying what she said, I said, I mean to cast no aspersions on the commissioner. I call for Kathy Engelbert's resignation. I said, if you're saying this kind of stuff and you got a star in the league saying this is how the commissioner of the league feels about these players and they said so, you can't get around that. That's where I was on that. Did you think I was wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. It's very hard to come back from that. Like, you know, listen, Roger Goodell gets booed everywhere he goes, right? And like, in general, the commissioners of the leagues tend to be sort of these like villainous sort of figures, but we've never in any of the major sports seen such a rebuke of leadership ever. And so I don't know. And I do want to be clear. That like Kathy has also been really instrumental to the growth of the league, capital raising, the investments that she's procured. Like, it's not like she's done nothing, right? Like, she has been a good commissioner. She's been a good commissioner in many ways. However, when the women that you are leading are in solidarity, standing and being this public with how they feel about how you are as a leader, and whether you're the right leader for the future, I just don't know how you come back from that. I have no sources that are telling me she's going to step away. I don't think we'll see anything happen until the CBA is ratified, but I just don't know how you continue to put yourself in that space when you have this idea, whether it's perceived or real, that you are not a great leader for these women. I just don't know how you come back from it. I really, really don't. And I was there, Stephen A., at the finals in Phoenix when Las Vegas won, and just the booing. And again, this is something Roger Goodell is used to, but it was, there is just this, a public opinion it's now that level. I'm just not sure. It's next level. It's really, really next level. And I'm not sure how they make that, how they sort of quell that fire. I don't know.
Host of the ESPNW Women's and Sports Summit, the 16th annual summit coming up. Is there a virtual option here for those who can't attend?
Yes. Absolutely. ESPNW.com. You can go. It's virtual. The whole entire thing is streaming for free. You don't have to RSVP or anything like that. Just go to ESPNW.com. All the information will be on the website, and you can watch us do our thing out here in Ojai.
Love you to death. You know that. I'm always
love you, USA.
All right. We'll talk soon. Okay. You take it easy.
Bye.
The one and only Elle Duncan. She is one of the best in the business. I can't even tell y'all. You ain't worked with her during the days like I have. She is serious. She is legit. The real deal. A spectacular talent in our industry. Host of the 6 o'clock Sports Center every weeknight as well. Does a fabulous, fabulous job for us right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls and more. The Stephen A. Smith Show. Of course, your voicemails as well. SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. You're listening live to The Stephen A. Smith Show. Don't go away. Getting right back to you.
Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A.? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
30 minutes past hour number 2 back here on The Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. This is Stephen A. Smith, and this Wednesday, my SiriusXM show, The Stephen A. Smith Show, which airs on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, and Straight Shooter with Stephen A., which airs on POTUS, Channel 124, will be broadcasting live from the HBCU campus of Delaware State University in Dover, Delaware. You'll be able to listen live to both shows on SiriusXM Radio, in the car, and on the SiriusXM app. So make sure to check it out. Don't miss it. Appreciate the love and support everybody's been giving me. There is no me without y'all, as I always say. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back to the phones we go. Right here to Stephen A. Let's go to Joe in North Carolina. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Joe? Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Stephen? How you doing, Brick?
I'm great, man. Go ahead, bro.
You are that dude, man. Thank you. Man, look. First of all, let me say I am remorseful in missing your birthday, bro. Happy 58th, and get better soon. Well, looking forward to you joining the 60 Club. Now, let me talk about my daggone Cincinnati Bengals.
Please.
I have been a Cincinnati Bengal since 1968, sir. 1968. Mm-hmm. My name is written in the concrete at Riverfront Stadium, sir. That's how long I've been a Bengal fan.
Wow.
But today, Stephen A., today, after 50-some-odd years of being a fan, I am no longer a fan until we get rid of, and you can disagree with me all day long, until I get rid of Zach Taylor as a coach, man. I am not a Cincinnati fan. It doesn't make any sense to be 14 points up with 9 minutes left to go in the game and to come back and lose the game to a 0-7 New York Jets team. It doesn't make any sense to have the weapons that you have on the offense. And I can't even blame this on Joe Flacco. No way can I put this on Joe Flacco. That guy has scored 10 touchdowns in the last 10 quarters, sir. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is so frustrating to me that you won't go out.
Joe, I'm going to rush you because you're taking up too much time wasting my show talking about the Bengals. I mean, they're trash. They're trash defensively, and I don't think Zach Taylor is the right coach for the job because he never protected Joe Burrow. That's why Joe Burrow has been out for 3 of the 6 years that he's been a National Football League quarterback. So I don't want to spend too much time with him, but I'm going to give you one last word because I'm getting ready to move on. Go ahead. Oh, man, you left. All right, Damon in Virginia, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead, Damon, talk to me. Damon, are you there? Let's go to Bob in Boston. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Bob? How are you?
Hey, Stephen A. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
So, Stephen, I think you're one of the most knowledgeable people about the NBA that is on the air today. So that's my upside with you. But I think you should have your credentials checked by saying Austin Rivers was the third best option in the NBA last year without mentioning.
No. I said there was a chunk of time. In the NBA, I'm literally saying that a chunk of time, it was like for a month to 6 weeks, he was on a roll where he looked like the best third option in the NBA. That's what I said. Okay. That's all I said. That's a fact.
So my real point is in this is, do you think if the Patriots, who have the highest amount of cap space in the NFL right now,
mm-hmm.
if they were to offer Cleveland a 1-4 for Myles Garrett, you think Cleveland would listen?
A 1-4?
Yeah.
Hell no, that ain't enough for no Myles Garrett.
How about Max Crosby and Jacoby Myers?
A first and a fourth?
Yeah.
I say so. But you know what? New England already has a defense. New England doesn't need that as much as Dallas does.
Yeah,
as much as Pittsburgh
rusher.
Does.
That's the one thing they're lacking is they don't have a really
the
good
Steelers and the Cowboys need that significantly more than the New England Patriots.
If they were to get that guy, do you think that they would be a Super Bowl contender?
Could be. The way Drake makes plays, completes 75% of his passes. Only a couple of interceptions on the season. They win in football games. They already beat Buffalo. Now, they haven't knocked the socks off of just any, you know, a whole bunch of people. But their strength of schedule is not that big. The New England Patriots got a relatively easy schedule. I mean, they got to play Buffalo again, but they got a relatively easy schedule. But this cat, Drake May, is doing his thing. Major props to Drake May.
They should be 7-1. They should be 7-1.
Yeah, they
should
have beat Pittsburgh.
They should have beat Pittsburgh. They put the ball on the ground 5 times.
Absolutely.
But
no doubt about it.
We're back.
Totally true.
We're back.
Okay. You are. You know what? You have a right to say that only from this standpoint. You finally found your quarterback of the future. Tom Brady's gone. You finally found your quarterback of the future. There's no doubt about it. You ain't got to look no further. Drake May's that dude. You ain't got to look no further. That much is true. Let's go to Mike in Tennessee. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Mike? David in Phoenix, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, David. How are you?
I got four questions for you.
Four?
Four quick questions.
Damn, that's one, long. Hurry up.
One is, when are you going to be in Phoenix?
I don't know yet. I know that I got to do Monday night in Dallas with the Arizona Cardinals and the Cowboys. I don't know when I'll be in Phoenix, and I don't think the basketball team is going to give me a reason to be there anytime soon, to be quite honest with you. But we'll see.
Okay, well, the next thing is going to be, what's going on with Ben Johnson and the Bears, man? Why that fool didn't step out of bounds, let the clock run down?
Look, the Bears just find ways to get in their own way, and they're going to have to get it together. You know, Ben Johnson, I think is going to be a hell of a coach. I believe in him. I believe in the organization. And believe it or not, I still believe in Caleb Williams. But, damn, you got to overcome this, man. It's like at some point in time, they got to stop going to class. They got to graduate. They got to graduate. The Detroit Lions are in your division. The Green Bay Packers are in your division. You got to graduate, man. They got to stop this. Seriously. They got to get this stuff together.
My whole thing is that all my cousins and family in Chicago keep on making up excuses for those dogs.
Okay.
I mean, you got to step out of bounds, man. Stop the clock.
I got you. Go ahead with your two other questions real quick. I'm giving you the floor, but you got to be quick.
Wait, I said birthday. Happy birthday to you, by the way.
Thank you very much. That's your third one. What's your fourth?
I saw you on the field the other day talking to somebody in that nice suit, man. Looking good, bro.
I'm trying. Thank you so much. Okay, I appreciate it. Triple A Mad Dog 6 is the number. Call this 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. The NBA issued a memo addressing the need to assess dire risk of gambling, according to reports. The NBA is reassessing its measures on legal sports betting, how it should be regulated, what types of bets should be allowed, and the best ways to protect players from the, quote, dire risk that gambling can impose upon their careers and livelihoods, according to a league memo obtained by ESPN today. The memo was sent to all 30 teams 4 days after veteran guard Terry Rozier and Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups were indicated in part of a federal investigation into gambling schemes involving sports betting and poker. The league wrote in the memo that it is reviewing policies regarding injury reporting, training, and education of all NBA personnel and safety measures for players. Federal authorities accused Rozier of conspiring with a childhood friend in a gambling scheme centered on prop bets on his statistics from a game March 23, 2023, when he was with the Charlotte Hornets. Rozier, according to the indictment, told co-conspirator De Niro Laster that he would be leaving the game against the New Orleans Pelicans early. Laster sold the non-public information about Rozier's status to gamblers for approximately $100,000, according to the indictment. Sports books in multiple states detected unusual betting interest on the under on Rozier's statistics ahead of the game, and enough unexpected betting came in that many sports books halted betting on Rozier ahead of the game. Rozier left the game after playing a little over 9 minutes, citing a foot injury. Quote, while the unusual betting on Terry Rozier's unders in a March 2023 game was detected in real time because the bets were placed legally, we believe there's more that can be done from a legal/regulatory perspective to protect the integrity of the NBA and our affiliated leagues, the memo states. In particular, proposition bets on individual player performance involved heightened integrity concerns and require additional scrutiny, end quote. The league wrote in the memo that it is exploring ways to enhance its integrity monitoring programs to better use artificial intelligence and other tools to synthesize all available data from betting operators, social media, and other sources to identify betting activity of concern. Smart move on the league office. Okay. Two other things to read real quick. Rozier and Billups were put on leave last week by the NBA after being arrested in Florida and Oregon, respectively, with charged in separate indictments. Billups is accused of participating in rigged poker games with ties to organized crime, according to the indictment. Quote, with sports betting now occupying such a significant part of the current sports landscape, every effort must be made to ensure that players, coaches, and other NBA personnel are fully aware of the dire risk that gambling can impose upon their careers and livelihoods, that our injury disclosure rules are appropriate, and that players are protected from harassment from bettors, the memo states. There you have it. NBA making a good move as far as I'm concerned. getting ahead of it, because you all know that Congress has requested the presence of Commissioner Adam Silver of the NBA over the weekend. This, according to Yahoo Sports. So the plot thickens, and that's what we're talking about, and that's what it is. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls and voicemails to close out the show in a minute. You're listening live to Stephen A., SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Don't go away.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Minutes past hour number two, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Oh my goodness, it's been such a big time, long day. Game three tonight with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. Mad Dog Russo is coming up next with his afternoon drive show. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about all of that, because it was a big time game. Yamamoto threw nine innings, one run ball, sold out crowd. Everybody was waiting for the Blue Jays to go up 2-0, shut them down. 5-1 in game two, 11 days after doing the same thing against the Milwaukee Brewers in game two of the National League Championship Series. Allowed just four hits, walked none, struck out eight, retired each of the last 20 batters he faced, becoming the first pitcher since Curt Schilling in 2001 to throw back-to-back complete games in the postseason. Last time a pitcher retired the final 20 batters in the playoffs, Don Lawson was authoring the game, a perfect game in the 1956 World Series, by the way, so think about that for a second. The Blue Jays taxed Blake Snell, forced the Dodgers to dip into their bullpen, and then erupted for a 9-run sixth inning. We know that, but Yamamoto, they thought they had him early, but he adjusted and required just 59 pitches over his last six innings, during which he displayed the full capabilities of that damn repertoire of his. The brother's the real deal. Will Smith had three RBIs. Let's not forget that, breaking a one-all tie with a seventh-inning home run off Kevin Gausman, who had retired 17 straight batters. Max Muncy then added another solo home in the same inning. And it was the first postseason game in which two pitchers both set down 17 or more consecutive batters, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. So tonight you got Max Scherzer facing Dodgers' Tyler Glasnow in game three. You know that Scherzer's a three-time Cy Young Award winner. He's 41 years of age. Will become the first pitcher to make series starts for four different teams. He got his only decision when he was with the Washington Nationals, and they beat Houston in the 2019 opener. Glasnow, however, in 13 and a third innings this postseason, has an ERA of 0.68, just so you know. Brothers ain't playing. I still think the Dodgers are going to win this series, believe it or not, but I'm not sleeping on Toronto. I think it could go seven. I really, really do. But we shall see. Let's go to Jose in Chicago. You're live with Stephen A. How are you, Jose? Jose, hello, are you there? Hello? Yeah, you're live on the air, my brother. Go ahead.
I just want to finally get to talk to you. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I was listening to you on First Take in the morning, and you were talking about that. You still got faith in the Bears, right? I'm a big-time Bears fan. But mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Seeing Caleb Williams do those kind of decisions sometimes. Sometimes he throws bad, he gets bad throws and stuff like that. I was like, I don't know, maybe the Bears drafted the wrong quarterback. What do you think?
Listen, I don't blame anybody for feeling that way, because when you consider the way Jaden Daniels played last year, the way Drake May is playing this year, you're still waiting to see that from Caleb Williams on a consistent basis. So I don't blame anybody for feeling that way. But I think the jury is still out. Caleb Williams definitely has to be better. But I think all the potential is there, and I believe in the brother, and I just hope that he gets it together. He's not god-awful. He just can be better. And I think that he will be with time. But you know what? I don't blame for Chicagoans for having their patience running out, because he does need to be better, quite frankly. He really, really does. He really does. No way around it.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Michael in Colorado, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Michael? How are you?
Hey, Stephen A., what's up, dude?
Talk to me, my man. How you doing?
I think the bigger thing about the Broncos and the Cowboys Sunday was why Jerry Jones keeps holding on to Dak Prescott. Explain that to me.
What do you mean? I don't understand your point.
Okay, I thought about this. Look at the difference between Dak Prescott and Tim Tebow, Stephen A. Tim Tebow, they said, didn't have mechanics. They said he couldn't throw good.
He couldn't throw. He could come on, stop, 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 stop. You're not going to do that. You're not going to compare Tim Tebow as a passer of the football with Dak Prescott. Please tell me you're not going to do that. You can't possibly think that. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
So Dak Prescott has all the mechanics, and he throws for all these yards, but he can't win.
He hasn't won the big. Hold on, Tom. He hasn't won the big games. I got it. He's only got two playoff victories. Excuse me. What did Tim Tebow do? And I love my brother Tim Tebow. He's my friend. But the bottom line is that what did he do in the NFL? Come on now. They had an improbable run one season. Against Pittsburgh, and he threw that slant pass to Demaryius Thomas, and that damn Ike Taylor couldn't catch him. Don't get me started. I collapsed on the floor. I was sick to my stomach. But the fact of the matter is, Tim Tebow completed 46% of his passes that year. Tim Tebow made his bones running with the football, not throwing it. Stop that. Stop that.
But Stephen A.
You know, come on now.
He was a winner. He was a winner.
So we doing Skip Bayless now? All he does is win. All he does is win games. Unleash Tim Tebow. It's time. Let him play. That's what we doing. That's what we doing now. That's what we doing.
But
come on, man.
Stephen A.
You can't do that.
They benched Dak Prescott Sunday.
Dak Prescott is a star quarterback in this league. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes. I'd rather have Josh Allen. I'd rather have Lamar Jackson. All of that stuff is true. But that does not mean that Dak Prescott can't ball. You will never hear me say he can't ball. I just say it's a black cat running around that franchise. Take your time. Wait for it. They won't let you down. They'll find a way to let you down. That's all I'm saying. But I'm not going to tell you the brother can't play. Dak Prescott can play quarterback better than 80% of the National Football League. Now, come on now. You can't go that far.
Did you see the look on CeeDee Lamb's face and all those players when he threw that second interception?
Did you see them the week before when he was throwing darts all over the place and they were dancing and celebrating? Come on, man. Stop it. Go. Have a good day, man. So you can't do that to Dak. Listen, y'all are messing me up because, look, I don't want to give a man a break, but you're forcing me to with this drivel. I can't treat him like that. That's not fair. I'm not going to treat Dak Prescott. You're going to compare him to Tim Tebow? Come on, man. You can't do that. And I love Tim Tebow. He's my friend. I don't want to say anything negative about Tebow. But he was not an elite thrower of the football. That was not him. Y'all need to stop that. You can't do that. Dak Prescott, $60 million quarterback. That's fine. And he got a win when it counts. But there's no doubt that the brother can throw the football. There's no doubt that he can play quarterback in the league on an elite level. Ain't nobody saying that about Dak Prescott. You can't deny that. Come on, man. We can't be unfair to him like that. Stephen A. is fair. I'm a fair-minded man. I'm not going to do that to him, even though he's a Dallas Cowboy. I won't do it. Let's go to Chuck in Tennessee. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Chuck? How are you, man? How's everything?
Good. How are you, Stephen A.?
I'm all right, man. I can't complain.
I just want to talk about the 49ers real quick and injury bug. Like the last 3 years, I don't know if it's something they're doing in the off season. Is it the water out there? It's just getting ridiculous. It's year after year.
It's football, bro. It's football. And by the way, you 5-3.
Yeah, but
even
you
lost it in your last five, but you're 5-3.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like you get hit hard every year.
Yeah, you get hit hard every year because you know what? Your championship window is closed. And that's what you sense. You know y'all ain't winning with no damn Mac Jones. But Brock Purdy eventually is expected to be back. But what you going to have? You're going to have C-Mac playing at an elite level. And I get that part. You understand? Because you need him. He's going to be your primary receiver as well. You understand? Kendrick Bourne is still there for you. Kittle's still there for you. Purcell is still there for you. You're going to need these brothers. I got it. You understand?
Yeah.
But I just think that your window may have closed. You'll still be respectable. You'll still be in the mix. You'll still be challenged. But I just, what else can I tell you? All right? That's where I'm at with it. I appreciate the call, though, man. Thank you so much. David in Nevada. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, David? How are you?
What's up, Stephen A? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Talk to me.
I know you're tight on time, so I'm going to make it quick. Number one, I agree with you 100%. The guy is nuts to say about. I'm a big Broncos fan, but let's get real over here, okay? Tim Tebow was a nice, exciting season, but there's a reason why as soon as Peyton Manning became available, the Tim Tebow experiment was one and done. Okay,
right.
Let's just be real over here. Dak Prescott is an authentic, great quarterback. Maybe not great, but he's a very solid, good quarterback. I have him on my fantasy team, and my fantasy points say otherwise. So he's solid. You can't take one game when he plays the best defense in the league of the Denver Broncos and say, oh, man, this guy can't. I mean, come on.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, Toronto Blue Jays, game three tonight. I think you're right. I think it's going to go deeper and longer than everybody thinks.
I think it's going to go. I think it's going to go. I think it could go seven. I picked the Dodgers in six, but I think it could go seven.
I think it could go seven.
Listen,
I really do.
If you're the everybody ain't Yamamoto. And if you can pitch and work the count and make the Dodgers get to their bullpen, all right? Because your rotation, you can't keep the cats in there. Toronto got a chance. They showed you that in the sixth inning of game one. That's what I think you got to do. If you can get to the Dodgers bullpen, that's the key to every game. You cannot have, I mean, listen, if Yamamoto and everybody else is going to pitch one hitters or four hitters and complete games, then you know what, that's a different animal. But if that's not the case, Toronto can get to them. Toronto can get to them, and this could be a seven-game series. Jess in Arizona, you're live with Stephen A. Last caller. What's going on, Jess?
Hey, Stephen A, nice talking to you, brother. I have one ask for you. Could you and your colleagues give Todd Bowles a little more love? Stephen A, they don't even mention his
Todd Bowles in Tampa?
Yeah, Stephen A.
That's a good point. That's a good point. He deserves it. He deserves it. He's an elite defensive mind. He's doing a good job coaching Tampa. It's just that the Super Bowl combatants, you expect it to be Philadelphia, Detroit, you know, now the Los Angeles Rams. You think that something's missing. But if Mike Evans and Godwin and Igbuka and all of those brothers available, who knows what Tampa did do? So you're absolutely right. Got to get on out of here. Doggy up next. World Series Game 3. Talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace of love.